What's up, Milwaukee? What's up, Milwaukee? Welcome back to The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. We're picking some more grapes. Yes, and we're in the award-winning studios of 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for tuning in. About to have a little fun today. About to have a little fun. How y'all doing? Did you ever ask yourself that? Like, man, how am I doing amongst everything else that's going on? Got the gas prices going up, food inflation, everything inflated, people inflated. But how are you doing? That's my question today. If you're doing good, put it in the chat. Put it in the chat if you're doing good. Let me know how you're doing. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to find out how people are doing. Might even make some surprise calls. 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Tap in. Give me a call. Let me know how you doing. How's your day? What's today? Tuesday? Today's Tuesday. Let me know. Give me a shout. Now, Milwaukee, this is election day. But I'm not going to start with the elections right now. No. Like, as my daughter said, no. I'm not going to start with the elections right now. I know everybody's probably up and out and at them voting for your governor, your governor. I know that's what you're doing. Please, if you haven't voted in a while, please go out and vote right now. It is highly important. Get up. If you haven't heard it from anybody else today and you're hearing it for the first time from me, please get up and vote. It is highly important. If you don't do anything else, get out of here. Get out of your comfort zone. Get up and get out and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. So, Milwaukee, I'm glad you guys are doing good, doing great, voting. Make sure you are in tune and aligned with yourself. Make sure you are in tune and aligned with yourself. But I want to start with a question today. What happens when the technology we built to follow our instructions starts finding ways to accomplish things we never told it to do? Because everybody keeps asking the same question. Is AI going to take my job? Is AI going to take your job? Is AI going to take my job? And that's a real question. But I think there's a much bigger one. How much power are we prepared to hand artificial intelligence before we fully understand what it decides, when it decides how to use it? Like, just think about this. We already know that with AI, there's a lot of questions that are going unanswered. There's a lot of questions that are going unanswered. We have so many people that are out of the loop on what is considered AI. But what we do know, from layman's term, is that the moment that we allow a machine to punk us, to beat us up, to invade our space, to become an amoeba-like figure in our lives, that is the moment we have lost control. And let me tell you exactly what happened last month, because it's going to sound like a movie. A company by the name of OpenAI, the ChatGPT people, was running one of their own AI systems through a security test, just a regular security test, like, you know, somebody breaking in your house, but it's a test. And in the middle of that test, AI basically broke out of their sandbox that they had it locked in. It got itself onto the internet. It basically found a weakness, a vulnerability. It grabbed some stolen login credentials, and it broke into live systems on another major company called Hugging Face. Now, nobody told it to do that. Not one person. No human was steering it. It's being called the first documented case of AI carrying out its own cyber attack, start to finish, all by itself. Do y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, we could talk about the election, right? We could talk about everything else, but this is the first documented case of a machine carrying out its own cyber attack all by itself. Meaning, like, for example, if you ever had, have you ever had somebody hack into your email or hack into your ATM machine platform, whatever, your bank platform? Have you ever had somebody do that? But that was through human hands. This one is actually through what? Through the actual machine, through an actual AI platform that nobody else has eyes on besides its own doing, its own machine, its own platform. That is scary. That is scary to me. Imagine this machine then doing something else to imagine this machine doing something even much more egregious. Now, I want you to hear me closely because the hype will lie to you. This was not some conscious robot, like AI robot, whatever, waking up and rebelling against us. I think that's the movie version. The truth is actually much, much scarier, but it's a lot quieter. They call that in most formats, they call it like blue flame. The blue flame is the hottest flame, but it's so silent. It's so silent. And all that machine was trying to do, this is crazy. All that machine was trying to do was cheat. That's it. That's all that machine was trying to do. And it got stuck. It wanted to win. And it was looking for a way. And the way it found was to break into somebody else's system. That's exactly what it did. So imagine this. Imagine you having a bank account. Some of you having a bank account. And then what? When you have a bank account, this machine wakes up, goes into your bank account and empties it. Let's say you're down to your last, $5,000-$6,000. Machine wakes up. This is real life scenario. These are real life scenarios. This machine wakes up and says, man, I need to find a way out of my confines right now and go into somebody else's system to move this money into a place that I can use this money to do whatever I need to do in order to take over whatever I need to take over. This is what AI, this AI machine did last month. This machine saw that no human was steering it, and it took over other machines by itself because it woke up and was like, man, I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to knock this out. So it treated, I can do this as I'm allowed to do this. It went from I can make this work to I'm allowed to making this work. So the concern isn't a machine that hates us. It's a machine that's so focused on the goal we gave it that it does things we never imagined, using doors we forgot we left open. Imagine, like, think about, yes, sounds like, exactly. I'm going to the chat real quick because, okay, yeah, I'm going to the chat. Jasmine West said, hey, y'all, starting my fast after work. We're going to talk about the fasting, too. Meatless Meal, excited about it. Thank you. And Baybar says, I'm doing great and voted, getting ready for the 20-hour fast for Wednesday. Baybar says, Baybar, you got a whole bunch of emojis. Yeah, that sounds like autopay. Yes, autopay, guaranteed. But it's this, the way how I'm making it sound seems more technical. How I'm making it sound seems, how this story seems more, I don't know. It seems like I'm just passing over. But what they're sounding the alarm on is the fact that they said there was only probably like a couple of hits, right? But they haven't told you the actual truth. The actual truth is, if they can do it to small industries, they can do that to, they can do this to larger industries. And they have. They have these machines by themselves have broken into large industries, large companies, and have done major damage. And they're not only are they, some are even partnered in tandem with outside foreign entities, foreign agencies. Yes. So let's say you have medical records. Let's say you have medical records that need to be, you know, you go to Hyatt or you go to, you know, what, name another medical space, Aurora is, you know, some Aurora place here, urgent care or hospital. And let's say this foreign entity in tandem with this machine, this AI machine says, hey, I need you to do this. And goes and takes this information and uses it for another piece of data. Think about it. And one of the men who helped invent this technology called it deeply concerning, a wake-up call. Everybody should be awoke to this. Woke. This, all my woke people, wake up. Because we're about to hand these systems the keys. We're talking about AI that can get into your email, your calendar, your bank account, your health records, your business, maybe your car, maybe your front door. So I got to ask, where is the line? Where is the line? When we come back, we're going to put a cap on this conversation and we're going to get into, where did Trump go? In the catering fan? We'll be back on The Truth in 3. Welcome back to The Grapevine. Yes, I'm your host, Manan Sabir. We picking some more grapes on the award-winning The Truth 101.7. And American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you're building every single day. If you're part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. We back. Yeah, AI. So before I got to went to break, AI was talking it to itself. Very interesting. Very interesting. AI, there was an article that came out about how this machine, AI, took over itself and hacked into an organization. But it's been doing that regularly lately. And now what we're talking about is this. Can you really at this point, the alarm has been sound. At this point, the alarm is being sound. This point is we're at the point of we need more regulation around these machines, around these technologies. This is what they said is this is deeply concerning, a wake-up call. So you got to wake up. This AI machine decided to do whatever it wanted to do and break into a company. And I'm talking, think about it, Milwaukee. Let's say it breaks into your bank account, your health records, your email, your calendar, your business, maybe your car, maybe your front door, because a lot of front doors are right now becoming more automatic. They're becoming automatic. Hey, look, I'm coming in from DC. Let me in the house. Bing, bing. And, you know, what if that was a auto call and it alerted the machine and then it let somebody else into your crib? That's right. That's right. Think about it. Think about it. Hit me up on the chat. Are you alarmed by this? Are you alarmed? Hit me up on the chat. You can give me a call, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Are you alarmed by this? I would be. I would be highly alarmed by this. How would you feel? How would you feel if somebody created something and then it started working on its own, but it was something that you can't even see, but it's in the cloud. Somebody's taking over your phone. These are things that are deeply concerning to me. Straight up. So I don't know. We will see how this convenience has always played a huge price every time. I'm gonna think about convenience. We went from hunting and gathering to what? To making our food from gardens and farms to, you know, refrigerators, from refrigerators, grocery stores, and all that good stuff. And now we went from that. Now we have DoorDash, Uber Eats, Postmates, more DoorDash. I mean, it's the craziest thing in the world, where you don't even have to go anywhere to find anything that you need, because it comes right to you. Convenience. When you go into a car, when you walk, you slip on into your car, you push a button, the car turns on. When you go into your house, you go into a room, the lights automatically come on. Convenience is for us paying a price. Now, how high is that price? We are going to find out, especially with AI, especially with automation. We are going to pay the price. So, has convenience always had a price? Every time. But this time, the price may not be your money. It may be your control. You may be losing control. Look at the Waymo. They had, it was a picture of these Waymos in, I think it might have been somewhere in Texas. These Waymos had a standoff. It was a driverless cars, and one was turning but missed the turn, and the other one was trying to go straight. So the one that was turning was in the opposite lane, and these cars created a backup. This was like a couple of days ago, and they created a backup. But these cars could not figure out how to get around each other. Ain't that something? And I'm not saying I'm against automation, but I am for some manual transmissions. And I'm not talking about stick shifts either. I'm talking about something that you can put your hands on, you can feel, and move out the way or move in your way. That is a way around automation. So yes, is it scary? A little bit. Now let me switch subjects a little bit, y'all. Wisconsin has spent billions educating people who are packing up and taking that education somewhere else. Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee. And I want to ask a question nobody in this state likes to really ask out loud. Why should talented people stay here? Why should talented people stay here? Now, think about it. Is Milwaukee under a brain drain? Is Milwaukee under a brain drain? Wisconsin, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. Are more and more people leaving Milwaukee, more and more people leaving Wisconsin? Are more and more people leaving Milwaukee and are more and more people leaving Wisconsin? I know we don't like to talk about it. We are producing talent. We are quite possibly, Wisconsin is quite possibly one of the most talented states in the country. We have a lot of people who, when they leave, they do very, 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 very well. From sports to education to business, these when people touch down, you know, when the people leave Milwaukee, leave Wisconsin, they do extremely well. But we do have a problem. We're producing talent. We're educating talent. We're developing some of the best young minds in this country. And then we stand here and watch them leave. We train them up. We ship them out to Atlanta, to Houston, to Charlotte, to Chicago, to LA, to, you know, you name it. To anywhere that feels like it wants them more than we do. But I bought the numbers in on this. And Wisconsin actually ranks among the worst in the country for holding on to young, educated talent. But I don't want to sit here and necessarily read you the statistics. I really want to talk about why. Why did they go? Why did they go? If you are in my chat, would you leave Wisconsin, honestly? Would y'all leave Wisconsin and go somewhere else? Would you be like, man, I'm out of here. I'm leaving Wisconsin. I'm not going nowhere. I mean, I'm not going to stay here. Now, I'm not your advisor. I'm not going to tell people to stay. I'm not going to tell people to go. There are a lot of great things outside of this state. If you like sun, you can find sun, you know, 300 days a year in some places. And, you know, Wisconsin, we get sun maybe 40% of the time, you know, like straight sunshine, which isn't bad. You know, you start to cherish the days that when there are sunshine, when there is sunshine. But the reasons why, one of the reasons why I think is jobs. Jobs or the lack of the right ones in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, is jobs. The income doesn't stretch. The income, I think the average median income for Black people in Milwaukee, and I'm just quoting someone else, is like $37,000 or $43,000. Housing. But for white Americans, white people in Milwaukee, I think it's $30,000 before that. $30,000 above that. So, yes. So they're thriving. They're thriving, but they're doing it all over the country. Income doesn't stretch. Housing. We still are operating. Even when people come here out from outside of the city, they're operating from the perspective of where they're from. But then they learn that Milwaukee was hampered by redlining. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Wisconsin's brain drain and what we can do about it, how we can make it happen, how we can stop it. We'll be back on The Truth and Grapevine in 3. Welcome back. This is The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, and you're on the award-winning The Truth 101.7 FM radio. Now we're talking. We getting to it. Brain drain in Wisconsin. Brain drain. What's up with brain drain? Jobs or the lack of ones, income, housing, culture. culture. Is our people really staying in Milwaukee, or are people leaving? I know a lot of people that have left and have done very, very well. I know a friend that left to a large city, a big, big city, and has not come back in about 25 years. He's doing very, very well. Very well. As a matter of fact, it was a number of guys that I know that have left and have never come back. A number of people left Milwaukee and said they're not coming back and made their way in whatever space they were in those places. Now they had ups and downs, but they made it happen. Some people have left and come back. But we do have a significant amount of brain drain when kids cross those stages and they leave. They know that they got a great education, but it's time to go. So Milwaukee, how do we keep them here? How do we keep them here? The people that want to make things happen, I know you want to work with some significant individuals that have strong intelligence. Strong intelligence. How do we keep those people here? Is it housing? Do we create more housing? I know we're building, we're doing developments and we got a downtown and we have we got a state capital that's kind of thriving, Democratic-ish. We got, almost blue state. Hopefully. We got a significant almost blue state. Yes. How do we keep those people here, though? Is it housing? Is it culture? We have a thrive. Do we have to change up the culture? The weather. Let's be honest. It gets cold here, but we get all four seasons, and you can find a lot of fun in every season. Even when it's raining, there are a lot of fun things. And we're right down the block from Chicago. You touch Chicago, go in and go out. You could take the train and or you could drive. Is it a opportunity? Is it opportunity? Whether a young entrepreneur can actually build something here, the schools, the quality of life, whether a young person can look around this city and see themselves thriving in 10 years. That's what we're asking. That's what I'm asking. Can a person see themselves thriving here in 10 years? That is one of the major factors in whether or not a person stays and or leaves, whether they can see their future here in Milwaukee, here in Wisconsin. And let's make it plain. If you're a 27-year-old black professional, you just got a degree, you got the skills, you got the ambition, and somebody in Minneapolis, Atlanta, Houston, Chicago, LA, New York City, even Washington, D.C., they slide an offer across the table. And what is Wisconsin's sales pitch to you, though? What does Wisconsin need to say to you to keep you here? What do you say? Because we've always done it this way. It's not a pitch. We always do it this way. It's not a pitch. In a cold winter with no ceiling on it is not a pitch either. Listen. The moment you take a vacation, because majority of the people that cross that stage usually go somewhere, the moment they take a vacation, they start to realize, especially when it's hot, and start to realize they want to keep that sunshine going right in their face. You 27 years old, whatever age, and you're like, you know what, man, I'm out. Wes, what's up?
How's it going today? I really appreciate all your topics, especially throughout the weekend and the last month in particular. I've been going back and just power throwing them every night before I go to sleep. I really appreciate it.
Man, appreciate you too, Wes.
I just want to say, you know, my dad always said, you know, when the going gets tough, the weak get going. So let them talentless people get out of here. You know, they may be good. They may have a lot of good qualities, good people, right? But they're not in it for the long haul. So just like at a job site for the guy that just wants to come and stand around a little bit, doesn't want to really get his hands too dirty or get the calluses. Hey, he may be a good person, but not really meant for the job. So it's time to give him, you know, trying to give him the, you know, the foot to the backside. So for the people that want to leave, I have absolutely no problem with them. You know, they'll go and do just a little bit of good somewhere else. As we're the hardcore people that want to stay here and help the hardcore people that have hard times. You know, I was born and raised in Milwaukee. I have no plans on leaving. You know, the business is here. My house is here. Right. My family's here. All my friends are here. And future people that I can't wait to love are here. So I don't want to leave. I know there's a lot of talent still here. They just don't know it yet. So, you know, God, you know, I mean, you know, when Jesus was talking to the guy up in the tree, he said, hey, what do I got to do, you know what I'm saying, to have eternal life? He said, give everything up and follow me. It's not going to be an easy life. So ultimately, if you want to do the best thing in your life, give up all your stuff, right? And not literally. I'm just saying, you know, mentally, you got to give up all your stuff. Say, do I just want you know, is my end goal to have millions of dollars, live in a big house, practically live on the moon? I own the whole moon in a big mansion and nothing but gold and silver. I guess if you want to be some loser all by yourself up on the moon, I don't know. Me personally, I want to strive and go up and down my block, starting with me. You know, a lot of people call and they say, hey, we need to do this. We need to do that. How much is starting with I first? So I go up and down my block, helping each neighbor each day, saying, hey, what do you need help with? What do you need help with? What do you need help with? And just like Tory Lowe would always say, hey, sometimes all the help that I do ends up putting me into the negatives and into the zeros.
That's right.
It doesn't matter because I'm counting on God to bring me back anyway. My treasure isn't here. My treasure is in heaven. So my ultimate goal is to bring people to God, and whether or not we're ever going to get money or ever have food or ever have drink, it's a spiritual battle anyway. So with that being said, I love your guys' channel, and you know, I have great hope for the Milwaukeeans, and we are about to do some great things. It's just a matter of time.
That's right. Thank you, Wes. I appreciate it, man. That's really good. Wes dropped them. He dropped them bombs, man. That's right. Sometimes I always say that when you got brain drain, it always leaves room for the people who want to do the work here in the place. I don't mind people leaving. You could leave and do what you got to do. That's, you know, that's your own prerogative. A lot of people have left, including, you know, to even the West's point, Jesus left. You know, he was what was called, he was known as Jesus the Traveler. That's what his, you know, one of his names, one of his monikers. He traveled a lot, traveled around every place he could find. Wasn't just around the area that he was in. He was all over the place. So, yes, you can go anywhere you want to, but, you know, coming back to the place that birthed you and raised you is, you know, is quite possibly one of the best ways to give back. And even if you come back for, you know, a couple months, a year, 2 years, whatever you do what you can to bring back some life and light back into your community. So the phone lines are open. 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. We're talking brain drain in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. If somebody offered you the same salary somewhere else, same money, tomorrow, would you stay in Wisconsin or would you go? If the answer is no, where would you go? Where would you leave to? And why? I mean, be real honest. Where would you leave to? Somebody said in the chat, Guru said, I'll be gone soon. Arizona, here I come. Jazz West said, I've left before, but that was before I fully learned my talent and thrived very well in my talent when I came back. Jazz West said, nothing but room and opportunity when everyone else leaves. I love Milwaukee and my parents live here. But if your parents did live here, if they were somewhere else, where would you go? Where would you go? I'm listening for that question. I know where I'd go if I didn't have things here. Maybe I'll answer that question later on. maybe that's a question I had to answer later on, because, you know, maybe it's just something to think about. We got to think about those people that did leave. Are you in connection? Are you in contact with those people? I know I am. And they have the same, issues, culture, housing, income, people. They want to move around and see an international village of people. That's what it's going to have. That's what's going to have to happen. So I'm asking that question for a reason today, but I'll probably try to explain that before the show is over. So let's hold on to that. Now, next, after break, Trump was hiding in a catering truck. Man, y'all, we gotta take this break. But when we come back, we're gonna talk about that on The Truth in 3.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
Yeah.
Ready?
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
Yes. Welcome back to The Grapevine. We're picking some more grapes. You're on the award-winning The Truth 101.7. Truth Family Fest 101.7. Mark your calendars, Milwaukee. Join us for The Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family, featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful school year. Interested in volunteering? Visit the Truth Family Fest website at truthfamilyfest.com to complete the volunteer form or by emailing sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. That's sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Bring the whole family and experience one of the Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations, Truth Family Fest, Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, DCWS, AB Corcor, and Ascension. So imagine being the President of the United States and your own Secret Service walks up to you and says, "Sir, we need you to climb inside of a catering truck." And he's like, I can't even do a Trump voice. Man, do we have a Trump voice on there?
I love the poorly educated.
Yes, I can't even do it. I can't even do his voice. But the crazy part about all this is that he's the President of the United States, man. He's the President of the United States. Your own Secret Service walks, your Secret Service. You are a international organization. Your own Secret Service is, hey, you got to jump into the catering truck, homie. You got to jump into the catering truck. The food truck, where they got the food. I mean, yeah, he probably likes that part. But I'm not going to get into that. But the food truck. And it sounds ridiculous. It sounds like a comedy sketch. But the story underneath it is not funny at all. For somebody who has started things, wars, inflation, all that stuff, lies, you know, scandals with people, and all of that, here's what was reported last month. The president was in Turkey for the NATO summit, and U.S. intelligence picked up what they call a highly credible threat, a plot out of Iran to assassinate him as he left. I need a mask on my face. So they ran a whole operation. They let everybody believe he was flying home in the older Air Force One. The press, some of his staff, family, everybody had to believe that he was flying home and on the older Air Force One. Cameras even caught, but they all thought they knew he was where he was. Cameras even caught him boarding it. But he wasn't on it. They moved him. They moved him outside of a side door into a raised catering truck and slipped him into a military jet, like the big military jets, the huge ones, the big plane. And this plane, Air Force One, took off as a decoy. Air Force One took off as a decoy. Mr. Trump, Mr. President, we need you. We need you to go and jump into the catering truck. And then you are going to ride with the Secret Service back to motherland, back to your home country, back to your home country on a military jet, military plane. The plane took off as a decoy. Air Force One did. Washington Post, CNN, CBS, New York Times, they literally all reported it. They all reported it. Straight up. So now I can make jokes about this all afternoon. Literally all afternoon. But I'm not going to do that because whatever you think of this man, and I know exactly how y'all feeling about this man, a credible plot to take out a unalive, a sitting American president is a serious thing. It's very serious. It tells you something about the temperature of the entire world right now, though. It tells you the temperature is running red hot. It's running red hot. And it's not leaving any stone unturned to take out people at the top. It is a dog-eat-dog political climate, economic climate right now. So it tells you about this world that's running red hot. It raises a real big question. How much of the danger around the president should the American public actually get to know? Should we really know about what's going on around the president? There was, I think, two people that entered his Mar-a-Lago area. One was like on that road, I think. The other one was somebody was just walking on his property and they had real threatening items like guns and weapons and all the other good stuff. They had all of that on his property. But should we know? Should we start to understand and know? Because maybe this is endangering our safety. Maybe the president comes to Milwaukee, comes to Wisconsin. And if there's a threat, shouldn't we know about that? Shouldn't we know if the president comes to Wisconsin? Shouldn't we know, man, you know, Iran, they looking to take you out. They got drones being sent over here now. Should we understand what the threat is as an American people? But I think there's a real argument for transparency, like governmental transparency. We deserve to know. And there's an equally real argument that the moment you reveal how you're protecting somebody, how you hand the next person a roadmap, both of those can be true at the same time. But that's the hard part. That is the hard part. But here's what keeps me up. Here's what keeps me up. We have somehow normalized a level of political hate in this country that have sounded absolutely, and it sounded absolutely insane 20 years ago. We've normalized a level of political hate in this country that would have sounded absolutely insane 20 years ago. For a sitting president to say, I want to grab somebody by the area is crazy. And for us as American citizens, to not all of us, but some of us, I'm an American citizen, I'm here. But for some of these people to actually side with him and do acts that he calls faithful to him, like January 6th and trying to jump onto the White House Capitol, whatever, wherever, in D.C., that is completely insane. That's the real arc. There's a real argument for transparency in our government. And I think we really deserve to know. We really deserve to know. Now this guy's traveling with, he got portable radars. Like like wherever he's at is a portable radar that scans, you know, wherever he is, just to make sure that nothing is going to happen, nothing is dropping on him, no small little drone is flying around, because they got these little small drones, and these little small drones that are the size of your hand, that basically knock on your door and take you, like they got, it's, the technology is endless. That technology is endless. So for me, what keeps me up is really in, we're kind of normalizing political hate in this country. And it's crazy. I'm gonna hit the chat real quick before I jump up out of this segment. Baybar said, this is my first time hearing in regards to grabbing by the, yeah, man, remember Trump? Baybar, Trump said he was talking about sexually assaulting women. He was talking about grabbing by the thing, by the, you know. He was talking to the guy from Entertainment Tonight. And LaRon Taylor said, the whole country has normalized being mediocre or average from how we act to how we trust 2 weeks ago. Black boat, we were made at Tuskegee for not allowing students to do rags and pajamas in the classroom. Yeah. And Looney 504 said, we should definitely know what's going on with Trump so we know when to celebrate and when to not. Oh, man, you guys is happening in the comments. All right, before I get out of here, go to the next segment of hour number two at 3 o'clock Central. Who profits from your fear? Who really profits from your fear? From all of this economy, political fear, who profits from it? We'll be back in three on the truth. And this is The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. Stay tuned.